being grace-centered and commitment and confidentiality and transparency and all those things. But in real time, life happens and crises happen, and sometimes a new person joins a class and they want to be part of a group. And so there's ways that we have to adapt and apply what we already know. And so we wanted this place to be a place where we could discuss what's going well, what's being a challenge, and try to learn from each other and then maybe get some more wisdom. Hey, James.
Hey.
Get some more wisdom, and in doing that, I think it can help all of us have more effective grow groups. And I think the more effective the grow groups are, it helps cultivate new leadership, and I think ultimately it gives us stronger life Bible study classes, not weaker, but stronger. Eddie?
No, I just heard a quote, though.
I want to hear it. I want to write it down, actually.
Because you're really, when you're a grow leader, you're kind of a shepherd. But I went to Ed Hendy's group session, and he said, if you don't like the smell of sheep, don't be a shepherd. So, some of our sheep stink.
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
He also said there was manure pool somewhere, right?
For those of you who do not know, Eric offices next door to me, so we have frequent conversations. Usually both of us are in a dead run, and so it's fun to work with him. Lots of fun.
God has given and answered her prayer for patience. Replacing me right next door, which is a real blessing for me to be that tool of God like that. Yeah. Well, we're going to pray, and then we're going to want you all just to introduce yourself a little bit about what your role is in your class, and then we'll dive in, and we've got a couple of questions. We don't have a handout because we're hoping you're just going to be popping notes down the same way we are as we hear from y'all and learn from y'all. And if you need a book, there are a few books probably still left in here, or if not, David, do you have something to grab notes on? Or okay,
you.
Okay. Well, let's pray, and I know it's winding down, but I believe God definitely has something He wants us all to pull from this, and I think each of us is going to grab some different stuff as we hear from each other. But let's just invite Him to speak into our life, our classes. Lord God, we thank you for this day and for this night. God, I thank you for the vision of Midnight Madness that that Ben and Pastor Greg have brought to our church, that it's a time that we can gather truly from preschool and nursery all the way, God, through the oldest classes that we possibly have at this church, men and women together, different jobs, different locations, different campuses, but we're all here tonight, and we're saying we want to become more equipped. We want to become more effective in your kingdom. And God, we want to know you more and love you more and be able to love other people well. And so, God, would you use this time? Would you guide us? Would you give us courage to share and ask the right questions, the real questions? And God, give us your wisdom and your mind that we might honor you in this time, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, I'll start, we'll roll around this way, but I just want to give your name and then sort of your role and how long you've been serving in that role. And so some of you might be a director, a teacher, a grow leader, a grow group leader, or you may just be checking the whole thing out tonight and you've never served in any capacity. I'm Eric Reed, and I am men's minister here and have been the married young adult minister and have been here now 10 years. And as a member, I've been here since 98, the last year of Brother John's pastorate. So my wife and I joined, and then he quit. So we took it personally, but we stuck around anyway. And I'm also in a life Bible study class for married young adults called United, which we've enjoyed, and so I know some of y'all from that.
I'm Danny Urich. I'm a director for Bridging the Gap. We pick up where the summit singles leave off, so kind of the older singles, all the way up to about 60 years old. I've been a director in that class for just a couple of years, but the prior class about 5 years. So just looking for ideas to keep growing the class.
Yeah.
I'm Christy Lightbody. I'm in Logos. I'm a gather leader here. I guess one of the reasons I'm here is because the table's coming up, and so I'm going to be helping facilitate discussion after that. So hopefully, I don't know, I'm kind of hoping that the small group that happens there, we can kind of move into some grow groups in our class.
That's great. I'm Ryan Davis. I'm in the United Married Young Adults class, and I'm a men's coordinator, pretty much brand new to it, so I'm just trying to learn a little bit more about the grow groups and the singles and summit and get some insight.
And if you're not familiar, in grow leadership in Summit, and we're working in Fusion in this, we have people outside of Summit that are in a sense touching point with one or two class leaders with men's ministry. So I'll be meeting with Ryan will meet with one or two grow leaders from different classes in Summit. Those grow leaders then are helping organize grow groups in their classes, and that's the only way we can try to just know what's really going on and find out what type of training we need to offer and what type of events, classes, and everything else. So Ryan has stepped in to help do that in Summit.
My name is Luis Salcedo. I haven't served in any capacity before. I'm just kind of new to the whole grow group idea, and I just joined a grow group, so I'm just kind of wanting to learn more before going into a grow group.
So. My name is Dan Curry, and I'm a grow group leader. My group, that's who I'm with. So,
I've been together how long?
A couple of years.
Wow. Yeah. 2 years, awesome.
Two years, like 2.5 years. A couple of them got married, but we kept them around, so they're all right. They're good guys.
They're all right. they're all right.
We get to learn from them, so it's good.
My name is Tyson Gaspard. I have been a Summit director for a few years now. Or Easter, started a new class called Petrus. So that's where I've been. I also lead a grow group. But.
That's great that, when we think of hierarchy, I just say this, I think at some point we all need to be in a grow group. We all need that iron sharpens iron. And it's a great thing if you're a director to be in one. I think that shows the value and adds the value. I'm a minister on staff and I'm in one. With some men as well, not in my life Bible study class, but men that are they're a little bit older than me. But so I encourage y'all, it's not a title that you have, it's a relationship that we all need. And so that's a good thing for us to be involved in that.
My name is James Huber, and I'm director of Axiom, which is a late 20s and 30s Summit singles class in the evenings. Also leading a grow group this semester.
My name is David Slattery. I'm the director of the Bridge class. My role here tonight is to make everybody else feel young. This is an area we've actually talked about this as an area where we're really looking at trying to make happen in our group. We have a very large class, and this is an important area to build.
And for y'all to know, I mean, Summit and Married Young Adults have small groups have been very easy to get started and to champion. And over 40, we really haven't championed them a whole lot. So there's, I think I'm in a grow group that's actually out of your class, whether you know that or not, with Mike McNulty and some of those guys. Yeah, so a lot of what we're doing, whether you know it or not, is ultimately, I think, going to be moving up through the church and teaching the entire church how to be transparent, how to pray for one another, how to be accountable, how to be biblical friends. And so it's neat that it doesn't matter how we learn it, how we get there, and and David's really pioneering it, whether he knows it or not, in adult ministry by, you know, coming in, doing this.
I'm Brett. I'm doing a grow group for Summit in the Renewed class. I've done a few grow groups in the past, small groups I think that were called back then. So I'm very excited.
I'm Paul Lewis. I attend the Ignite in Summit. I'm a grow group leader. I've been leading grow groups for a long time. And off and on, 4 years here at first.
I'm Carolyn O'Neill, and I am Director of Women's Ministry, and I've been at Houston Spurs for 30 years, a long time, and I've been on staff 11 years, paid, and 9 years I did the job as a volunteer, so I've got 20 years under my belt, so I love it, and got to be on the pastor search that called Greg, and that was an honor and a work. 4.5 years of looking for a pastor. So I love this church as much today as I did 30 years ago when we joined. And I am a Bible LBS director for Day Spring, and I have been in that position 25 years in April. And it was Beth Moore's class, and she moved to a different hour, and I stayed back with a very small group of women, and gosh, I can't remember when Beth moved to that second hour. And so we've grown the class to, forgot how many we have on roll. We run anywhere from 60 to 70 on Sunday, and they're all ages. And a little senior adult class disbanded. Their teacher became ill, and they didn't have any place to go. So I've inherited about, probably 10 really senior adults. And it's allowed our women who are not all senior adults, some of them are that 55 age, but allowed that, I've got every age from like 35 to 90, but for those 35-year-olds that are in there, they're young, 45-year-olds, and that we love on those sweet ladies that are on walkers or wheelchairs or whatever. And so we pack a room out, and we always have really good refreshments, so.
So if you're ever hungry.
Just hang out and get the leftovers, that's what I do.
Well, is it, you know, for some of you who haven't had a group yet, right, you're just now starting out, but I'd love to hear some things of what is going well in the groups that you have. And I know Summit, we're getting ready to start some groups. Maybe you've got a group that's carrying over from another, you know, another semester, but what are some of the things that have been going well in the groups maybe last semester and in other groups, what has gone well? And that's a wide open question for y'all.
I can start. I think in past grow groups, I kind of learned some things that maybe didn't go well. And one of them was when we would enter in, like reading a book or going through a study, I think a lot of times people would hide behind that, and it consumed a lot of our time in the first place. And when it was time to actually start being real, people were ready to go and in a hurry. And so we, in my grow group this semester, or this past semester, and then continuing it this semester, we really have just been doing a lot more. Eric gave like a list of questions at one of the training sessions I went to, and there are things like, what has the Lord been teaching you this week, and how are you doing in your relationships? And if you just kind of go through the questions, I think they could be really shallow, but we really like spend time in them, and those are really telltale questions for things that are going on deeper with them, if you do kind of ask more probing questions with it. And it's been really good, by far the most intimate grow group I've ever been in, where people have really just opened up about lots of different things. And it hasn't been going on too long, but I do think like early stages of healing even are starting to happen there. And so it's been good. And I know that like that's maybe not for every grow group to kind of go without a real structured plan, but for me it's been the first time that I love meeting with my grow group now, and I'm excited to go see them, and it's much less of like a oh, I got to do this on Wednesday night, and you know, it doesn't feel like you're pulling teeth to go. So I think that's been working well.
That's good. One of the things that I've had go well in the past is having like weekly objectives for people to do, like invite two people to church or some sort of challenge for them. You have to be careful how you word that, but having something to talk about, like, what are you going to do this week, and set an objective. And some people don't really react so well with that, but usually if there's a few people in the group that do, those people will start going along with it as well. It's kind of like a way to prove that you're trying to do something. It gives like the group a purpose, I guess, which has been discussed.
I mean, they say truth applied equals transformation, and truth understood doesn't always equal transformation. It's truth applied. And so what you're sort of saying is, let's set some objective, let's apply something, let's do something.
Yeah, and then you also know that other people are feeling uncomfortable doing the same thing as well. It kind of gives you some camaraderie.
Yeah, I've done something similar that was, I think, worked really well for me, and really I owe to one of my friends in college that set up, we called it in the BSN, they had a lead team, but and I was like, I don't want any part of that, but he said, oh, well, I'm just going to get together with some guys, do you want to come join us? We're going to get together and pray for each other and pray for our ministry, and just the people that were witnessing, oh, yeah, I'd love to do that. And then I showed up, and like 3 weeks in, he's like, so this is our lead team. It's like, oh, no. I got suckered. But actually, it was probably the most the most rewarding experience. So one of the things we did is every week, I mean, I think we had note cards or something, and we would name a specific person we were praying for and how we were praying. You know, I'm praying that I can, you know, meet him for lunch or just a contact or something. And then every week, and then the next week, we'd pull out that card from the week before and go, so you met, did you get a chance to meet with? And we were doing a lot of international ministry, so there were a lot of specific names on there. You know, did you meet with such and such? And yeah, I met with him, and he asked about, you know, what is this thing Christianity? It was awesome. And this week, I'm going to try to teach him, you know, a little bit about this. So so the way I've modeled it, instead of just doing prayer requests and getting, we call the old organ grinder, like pray for Aunt Sally, you know, her appendix is going to burst or something, you know, instead of getting past that. So I kept that to it, but I always do kind of a three-point thing. So the thing of people around you, that are, you know, the events, the church events, the people around you, the things we normally would list that are not really personal, but then add to it something personal, like how I pray for you personally. Like your own walk, your own, you know, or your anger, whatever, kind of goes along the lines of how are your relationships or what's, you know, what's teaching you a similar thing, you personally, and then who are you personally praying that you could reach, or, you know, the name on the floor, if you will. So kind of do that three-point thing, and that's usually an opportunity for a lot of stuff to come on the side of that as you talk through those kind of 3 points, because you can't really pray for yourself every single week if you're not revealing, you know, some progress or some change or some emotional involvement to what's going on with you. So that tends to be an open door for people to share.
I like that. It's good. It's a good idea. Somebody else, what's gone well in the past? What's going well now?
I think preparation's a big thing. Tyson was talking about it with, not preparation, but he was talking about the questions that you delve a little deeper into life, just like how was your week, but it was more of like, you know, what's the Lord been teaching you? But you prep that the week before with your guys, like, hey, you know, next week we're going to talk about these things, so come prepared for, you know, these questions. And that's really helped us, because if I put a guys on the spot, they're just like, okay, yeah, you know, that's good, you know, they just like kind of mumble through it. But then if we have like a, you know, next week we're going to talk about this, then it's a lot better and more in depth, so that would have helped out.
Well, I can speak from what seemed to work well for my husband's group when they started out. I think they got the suggestion from your session last year, Midnight Madness, but I think there's four guys in the group, but they started out like the first 4 weeks, each guy took a week and just talked and gave testimony and explained his life struggles, and so I think it just started out a good here's what's really going on. I mean, I think it took a little while, probably get deeper on all the specifics, but I think it was a good way to just start out with, they didn't just share surface level things, they didn't just go through, yeah, my week was fine, but they get to lab and like dive deeper faster.
And to say that, as y'all hear, you know, we usually call it sort of that foundational weeks of sharing your story. And it doesn't have to be one guy for the whole week. That's sort of a suggestion. If you listen, when people share their story, listen for where has God been at work? Where has the enemy been at work in their life? Those two things, I believe, are like bread, like you can sort of track that stuff out. Because you're going to see the enemy is going to keep coming back. It's sort of like a blitz that results in a sack. That defensive coordinator is going to dial that same blitz up later on in the game. Once he found out it worked once, he might not use it every day, but he's going to bring that thing back. And so I think as friends to one another, if we know someone in the past struggled in lust or struggled in anger or struggled in, you know, body image or stress and anxiety, whatever it is, we should love them enough to note that, and whether or not they ask for prayer, begin to pray, but also just to look at, man, look, no wonder it worked. Hey, you know, in your testimony, you had shared X. This is like the same type of deal is starting to happen again. Have you noticed that? I didn't see that. Yeah, you're right. So how did you deal with it last time? Well, there was a verse I memorized, and there was, you know, I was held accountable by a friend. So you help each other get a battle plan for whatever it is the enemy has brought against us, because he wants to derail all of our lives from peace and love and joy and patience and goodness and kindness. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, the enemy doesn't want it manifested. And so as you share your story, don't just think of facts. Facts are good. Where has God been at work? Where has the enemy been at work? So that'll help you ask better questions, Tyson, as you're hearing what's God showing to you, what's your danger area this week, or questions like that. So.
We've been doing that in our groups, and it's amazing. When you know somebody's kind of their full story, it gives you a good lens to look through everything that they say, because you'll go back and see, you know, how their experiences and their gifts and the difficulties that they've dealt with sort of color, you know, where they're at now and how they see things. And there have been times where, you know, somebody would make a comment and, you know, maybe before it wouldn't have been so clear why they're coming from that direction, whereas you can look back at, you know, their experiences and say, oh, okay, well, I can see why he sees things that way. And it really does open up and help you understand each other a lot more, I think. And it's easy to do if you start with, like, you know, the group leader goes week one, but like if you want to do it week by week, like she said, the group leader goes week one, and then maybe somebody who's core to the class goes week two, and, you know, you just have talk to people beforehand that they, you know, they want to volunteer and go through the list. It works out pretty well.
You use the word, like, foundation weeks, and I think that was one of the most important things that we did different in this grow group, and maybe is lacking in a lot of our grow groups, where we spent probably 6 weeks before we ever really started doing anything that looked like what a grow group normally looks like, I think. And I remember there were guys that kind of fought me on it, because they'd been in grow group before, and they thought we needed to be, like, reading the Bible together, and that's it. But we did our first time meeting, because in Summit, the grow groups are thrown together, or like put together, you know, and they're not necessarily from relationships, and they change a lot, and they're new people. So we just did, like, dinner, and we asked, like, general questions, like, where are you from, where do you go to school, what do you do? And then the next couple of weeks, everyone took the place test, and we talked about our personality types and our spiritual gifts, and I think that's a really important part of understanding where they're coming from and why they think the way they think versus the way you think. And then knowing where they're gifted and where you can, like, encourage them and challenge them towards that. And then we moved more into testimonies after they kind of felt like they sort of knew you a little bit better. So testimonies weren't like
out of the
first couple of weeks or days. It was a little bit further in. And then we started asking those personal questions and doing. It's maybe counterintuitive, I think, when you feel like, well, it's a pro group, but to first become friends with them and then start growing from them, I think.
Yeah. And we do have, if y'all want a sheet, we've got sort of like 100 or 110 questions that are sort of icebreaker questions. Some of them are sort of dorky, but they really are for those, you know, early on, just trying to stir the pot to stimulate some conversations, because some guys, honestly, they're not going to be forthcoming at all. They're just not. That's how they've been raised, what their comfort level is. And our goal is in men's ministry, and I know for Carolyn probably in women's ministry, it's not to try to shame or guilt people into some compliance with an expectation we have at all. It's to love them well and provide a gracious space where God's Spirit will work in their life at the appropriate time to bring out the appropriate fruit. And so that's my prayer, is that you led well by saying, hey, we really have no clue about each other. Let's hang out a little bit, eat some meals, do some stuff. And so that's not a bad approach. It just depends on how much you either know or don't know already when you do get together. And so I would, you know, note that, is if you're complete, you don't know each other at all, man, take your time, get to know each other a little bit, have some fun, and then see how God begins to peel that out.
I was in an accountability group here at church for about 6 years. I think we broke about 3 years ago. And we met every week, and there were six or seven of us, and we met over lunch. And we had a sharing guide, and I'll just read through this real quickly. We just kind of checked in from the week before, last time we met. And I can, if you let me know, I'll mail you a copy of this. I don't have any extras. But what's been the blessing? So many times we focus on the negative of what bad's going on or what's wrong. But the blessings this week, and then your relationship with the Lord, is God calling you to go deeper with Him, and how temptation, high risk area. This is really, really good. What's your current high risk area, and how are you doing in it? We were all married, so we typically deal with children and getting, and relationships and like that. Life focus, what priority do you sense God calling you to focus on now? What's causing you to be distracted, and what needs to be pruned? Use of time, anything out of balance that needs to be adjusted. Relationships, personal care, accountability goal. And it can come from any of these other areas. It can even be a to don't, and then a prayer request. And we had one of these big timers, you know, like the sand, what do you call those things?
Hourglass?
Hourglass, good thing of it.
Each person had an hour then. Oh. It might have been a modified hourglass. It might have been a 5-minute glass.
No. It's, I don't know what it was. It was probably about 3 minutes. Because you know women, we can talk. I mean, we can talk for a week on the same subject. So anyway, we had our leader was a high D personality, very organized, and we stayed with the hourglass. And so we were able to do it with 6 people within about an hour. You know, because we're all at different places at different times. 1 week I have a high risk area, or a real struggle of something going on. But out of that came 6 deep, deep friendships that we're still good friends today. And so, but if you'll let me know, I'll mail you a copy of this.
Like just snail mail, or?
No,
I'm just giving you.
So some of your struggles might have been off the next door to him.
Yes, at times.
Kill me, man. Ladies.
Carolyn, you said that group was together for 6 years.
Uh-huh.
But did you start off with that kind of a
this
gathering, or did you, or did that some, was that something that emerged after you were together?
We came in with this.
They were very, I mean, these are top flight, and I'm going to say this because you wouldn't say this. These are like A-plus ladies. If I named them off, you would be like, if you've been around the church a while, you'd be like, she's a great godly lady, great godly lady, great godly lady. And so they already had a high capacity of integrity and all that. It didn't mean they weren't flawed. But they came together because a lot of times, and this is what you're going to experience in leadership, the higher you get up in leadership, you're not supposed to vent down. You're not. You're supposed to go up. So in the military, the higher you go up, the fewer people you can really derive camaraderie with and strength with. And in ministry, it sometimes happens that way too. It's not the way it's designed. It just sort of happens. And so I think you had a lot of top-level ladies that were isolated in ministry. They were, and they were hungry to say, I want to keep growing. I want to go to the next level with the Lord. Is that fair to say that? I mean, that's what I watched, you know, because y'all would meet in your office. I'd put the cup to the wall. Is this a confession time I can make?
Yeah, go ahead.
So one of Carolyn's issues is, no.
He did hear something in my office one day.
Oh, I did. That's right. I'm so sorry.
Because all the conversations that's gone on in my office that have been really hard conversations, and then he hears this, and I'm going, goodness.
I'm sorry.
No, but there was about 15 women that was potential prospects for this group, and it was interesting, the six that God pulled together. And, I mean, we could share our deepest, you know, heartfelt things that were going on in our lives. If we were mad at our husbands, we could tell we were just ready to kill him. And but it never went any farther. And the leader of it had gone through Willow Creek with their accountability group and all that, so she had great knowledge. But yeah, no, we went in with this because she's the one who kind of ran it. And we, once a year, we'd have a retreat at somebody's home and spend the weekend. And it was a purpose-driven weekend. It wasn't fun. So we didn't go shopping. It was, yeah.
Sacrifices.
You know. It was, but it was real, you know, real peaceful. Different ones of us did devotionals at different times during that time. So.
But y'all knew each other ahead of time, though.
Yes, but not well. It wasn't deep relationships. We just knew each other in ministry.
There's a respect that was there.
Yes.
I mean, so there's a deep respect already and an appreciation for...
But none of them were my best friends.
But you're at the same place in your spiritual walk or in life approximately then, weren't you?
Pardon? Say that
again. Were you approximately in the same place in your spiritual walk or... with your,
give or take 20 years.
No, we were all in different places. Yeah. So, one of them came out of a background of a cult. And we were all at different places, different ages. None of us were the same age. And, had gone through different things, hard things. And that was interesting that I don't know that there was one in this group that, you know, there's some people that go through life that don't really have a lot of hard things happen to them. I mean, for some various reason. And, but we had all gone through really hard things in life. And so, anyway. But to have a safe place that you can share it is so important. And so.
Thanks for sharing that. Would y'all affirm this, that most people are desiring a deeper relationship, at least one or two in their life, where there is that level of man, I'm safe, I can be myself, but most of us don't find that? I mean, I know it's true in my life, I just don't know for y'all. So the theory and the idea of grow groups is there's a lot of places we can get content. I can listen to Matt Chandler 24 hours a day, and when I finish all of his recorded sermons, I can start on Piper, and then when I'm 85, I can switch over and listen to John MacArthur. And then when I'm 120, I could switch over and listen to Beth Moore. And then when I'm 150, like, it's all out there. the best teachers, the best preachers, all of that. I can listen to podcasts all the time, but I can't get a biblical friend who's got my back and I've got their back, and they'll challenge me in love and I can challenge them back in love. I can't get that anywhere else. And if we fail to provide that within the people called the church, God ordained prayer, God ordained his word, but God ordained the church, the relationships here, to be transformative. That's part of his discipleship model. The rails of truth gets delivered on are relationships. And the deeper the relationship, the deeper the truth can travel. And so if you could just, if I'm just sharing that with y'all, why is it a big deal to me, or why is it a big deal to Carolyn, that we really do want these types of relationships to foster and form? It's because we believe one of the ways the enemy has attacked the church is to make relationships very shallow within the church, so that the church won't be the church. We have nothing different than any place else in society. Does that make sense?
That's good.
So I mean, that's our heart on that.
I think for some people, though, they've never known deeper relationships, and that's a very, very hard soil to cultivate. And I think and for people that way, the older they get, the harder that is to do. And so, you know, you ask the question, you know, kind of presuming everybody's yearning that kind of a relationship, and I say yes and no.
I'd say no as well.
I think there's some people that fear it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That maybe if somehow the ice was broken and they got it, that maybe they would come to really cherish that relationship. But I think there's, you know, experience we've had just with trying to implement some things. There's some people just, hey, that's too close to the center of me, and I don't even go there. You know, that's,
yeah. Yeah. Let sleeping dogs lie.
Well, too, I think that in some of our groups that they don't want to go there because they're afraid they'll be judged.
Yeah.
If they really get real, they would be judged.
Particularly if they come in thinking that everybody else around them has
right.
got it all together.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's because, to be quite honest, I mean, I was just hearing a few minutes ago at another session, I mean, that to be an encourager in a group means not offering advice quickly, which is something that, let's spout something up, let's try to fix it, but that can make a person feel judged rather quickly. So, you know, okay, well, I can fix your problem. Like, okay, apparently I shouldn't say anything else about it. So I think that's probably part of it. It's not so much I don't want to go there, but yeah, the fear of judgment, the fear of, you know, well, that was my feeling, but okay, apparently I shouldn't think that way.
Some people just don't grow up like that, just period. Like, they're not used to talking about that, they're not used to thinking about that. I don't know, I almost wonder there should be more effort put into designing the groups, because some of the ones that I've been in have just been entirely haphazardly thrown together. Like, whether people, you know, you said biblical accountability. I've had probably three of the five small groups I've been in, the majority of the people in them could not hold someone else biblically accountable just because they hadn't read the Bible. It's really hard to be biblically accountable when you don't know what's in there, I guess. I'm not sure of a nicer way to say that. But the 201 class that we had previously to this one, the 101 class, I'm sorry, mentioned that small groups were not meant to be curriculum. It's meant to be a sharing time to grow together. And it's difficult to do that when it seems like all that happens is we get a list of names and we chop it into three pieces and we give each group leader a chunk. And then sometimes you get one that works out well, and then sometimes you get a group where it's just entirely different personalities, entirely different states of what they know, what they don't know, what they're willing to share, what they don't want to share. And then it ends up being just 4 months of, you know, trying to teach something. It's just rough. And then no one, a couple of people want to keep doing it because they're learning things, possibly for the first time. But it's like a catch-up session. It's like a remedial thing, not a grow group for everybody, per se. But it's not, there's not an easy button to fix that, right? You don't make everybody take a 50-question survey on, like, what's in Galatians or something like that, or how you feel about sharing your life. But I think there needs to be, the people that sign up for grow groups, I think, you need, like, the people that sign up or put the groups together need to understand who those people are and what their needs are and put them together accordingly. And I just got assigned my group, and I only probably know 2 of the 5 people to a reasonable level. So the other ones are complete wild cards. No one really knows who they are. I'm gonna have to go dig through that and figure out what's going on in their lives, which is fine, but there could be something in those 3 people that completely caused the other 2 people and myself to just spend our time getting up to speed or something like that. And if that's what the group is for, that's fine, but you have to realize that there's a great disparity between a grow group that has people that have the fundamentals in place and a grow group that does not. It's almost like that you're unevenly hitched or something like that. I'm not sure what the solution is, but that's something that I've come across more than once.
Yeah, I think clarity of expectation of even what a grow group is on the front side before someone even signs up. Like, I know in the spring, August, I think, we were doing sort of a 301 on a Sunday afternoon, and I was surprised that it was a lot of the ladies' groups at that point. Commitment was just this huge deal, that people were like hit or miss, and I'm like, why are they even in a grow group? Like, if I am desperately hungry, like, y'all were 6 years together and you would have been longer if people didn't move, right? And I've been in groups that way, that we journeyed together, and if God had not, in his sovereignty and goodness, broken it up because of logistical things, we probably would still be meeting together. So I think some people are doing it simply just to do it. I'd say, I'll sign up. Other people, I think, have an intent of, this is what I want to get from this, and I'm open to, you know, getting a group of y'all together that are thinking, you're more process thinking, you know, thinkers, to say, let's think up, is there an application maybe that people could fill out? You know, what level of commitment are you willing to make? You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, rate your biblical knowledge. Yeah, like, and give some examples. Like, something that maybe at least on a one pager that takes 10 or 15 minutes of someone's time, to at least give us something so it's not a haphazard. But I also want to trust that the people aren't just, and maybe I'm wrong, like the grow leaders aren't just like grabbing the names and tearing the paper and throwing it in the air and grabbing them. I'm hoping they're praying. And I do trust, I really do, the older I'm getting, the more I trust in God's sovereignty. And it sounds really, really weird. When I was younger, I wanted to control everything. And so I didn't want God to be very sovereign, because I wanted to, I can do this, I can make this happen, I can. And now as I realize, man, Lord God, I'm just going to trust you in this. I can't rig this and duct tape it together and make it happen. Only you can make this happen. And that's not a bad spot. I'm telling you, there's been more fruit in my life in that season than there was when I had more energy. I was, you know, 15 years younger, but I felt like I was maybe 30 years wiser. And now I'm like, wow, man, I'm desperately in need of God's wisdom every day. And yet, so I'm not, I agree with you, what you're saying, Brett, and I applaud your honesty, because I think we've all felt that at some point or some time. If you've been in many groups, there are some groups that don't work.
Yeah, I guess just to underscore it once more, it's a serious problem, because just with attrition, probably 3 of the 5 groups that I've been a part of, we lost probably half the people within the first 3 weeks to a month and a half. And that's a serious number of people. It's 2/3 of the groups, it was half the people. That's 1/3 of the people that sign up for small groups drop out. I'm just one sample, right? But
yeah. If you know, and if this conversation is really about refining the process, last semester our whole class did take surveys before grow groups. Not really extensive ones, but we asked them what their expectations were, what their zip code was, like what nights they could meet, and then what they were hoping to get out of grow group, and lots of different questions like that. And a lot of the girl ones actually did really good, but something like 5 out of the 7 guy grow groups failed. And so 2 of them stayed together, which was really surprising for us because we thought we were like doing a bunch of due diligence and really trying to form groups that were intentional. And some of them had to do with commitment, not all of them. But, you know, I think some of them just didn't work out with the people or the personalities. But it is not a very organic process when you're making the group for people, basically, and they're not choosing their peers. We always struggle with, well, do we put all the spiritually mature people in a group and then let everyone else fend for themselves, or do we put one spiritually mature person in each group and then they're like an island amongst everybody else? And that's a hard thing for us to figure out.
You gotta have 2, I think. I really think yeah. You need to have 2. Like, one where you have, this is what I do, I have a group of like my personal friends, and then I go talk to them about stuff, and then like the grow group is gonna be my little, I don't know, my project people, I guess. But I think that's the issue, is you need people to be plugged in where they're gonna grow, and you need people to have a ministry. And right now it's just a one size fits all for the small groups. It's not like you take your pro athletes and put them all in the NBA, and then you take your other people and put them in like AAA baseball or whatever it is. But I think both of those things need to happen. And maybe the people that run very quickly, like, I don't know, the people that are in seminary school, whatever else, you put those guys in a group or encourage them to talk to each other and let that happen, or encourage it to happen. And then, I don't know, it just seems like the group is intended to be one size fits all right now. And I don't know.
So
I understand what you're saying.
So how many usually out of your grow group, how many were left?
Probably me plus 3 is typical. So if I have 7 people, I'd expect to lose half of them, mm-hmm. realistically. That doesn't happen every time. And so of the 5, I haven't let all of those. I probably let maybe 3 of them, I think. But it's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. And those are big groups, too. I mean, 7's a huge group. In my eyes, 7's a huge group. I know in Summit, 7's not a huge group, but 7's a huge group. I mean, my personal experience has been 3 or 4 is pretty ideal.
I've never had one that small.
Well,
not
that, that's the problem, is if you don't put a larger number to start with, when you have 1 or 2 or 3 drop, if you start with 3 and one guy drops,
well, yeah,
that's
yeah.
a weird meeting. It's just a
Right. No, I'm with you. The 3 is, the danger of the 3 is.
Even 4, if you have, you know, one quit now, it's, if you have one person preparing material to lead and then he's got his 2 buddies, it's kind of a weird, it starts getting a smaller.
So if you had 7, so if you had 7 or 8, and you had 3 or 4 drop, you know they're not coming back, couldn't you build on what you have left?
You're not supposed to do that, though. You're supposed to keep the way it's been instructed to me, at least, is you start with your group, and then you retain those people, and if people fall away, you keep your core group, so you keep the community and the sense of trust. So once you lose people, they're effectively gone. And then by the end of the 4 months, it typically, in my experience, is me plus 3 guys, 2 or 3 guys, typically. And the groups that I've been assigned or that I've been a part of are never 5 or fewer people. It's always 6, 7, somewhere in there. And I'm like, 2 people probably won't show up the first time, period. And then you'll probably lose 1 or 2 more just in attrition over the first month or so.
Yeah. And I mean, in planning groups, I would do that. If I have a new guy that he came to class 2 weeks and we passed a list around and he says, I'm going to be in a group and signs up, I don't know him. He only showed up to class 2 weeks. I'm probably going to put him as the really probably a little too big for that group. If he goes to the group and stays, great, but probably he's not going to stay with me. You know, if he's only been to class a week or two, I don't have high expectations of him to actually stay with that group. So you do add him on as a number 6 or number 7 person, expecting that he probably won't even show up to the group.
This probably isn't feasible for all the classes, but we usually, after we have signups, our grow leader usually goes in and personally calls everyone to gauge their level of interest, because we have two, you know, when he goes back, when I was grow leader, I did it, and our current grow leader, when you go back and talk to those people, you know, some people are just signing a sheet because they were there and it's the thing to do. Some people, you know, their work schedule changed, so a lot of those people who drop out, you can sort of move to the side at the beginning in the first, right before you start. We've found that helpful, but I don't know if that's something that all the classes would want to do, especially if they're really big.
So I, like Don and I worked at Doulos Ministries, that's where we met each other, which is in Branson, Missouri, as a discipleship ministry, and the dynamic we experienced there was people came with different levels of commitment and different understandings and definitions of discipleship. The expectations were wildly different. So you had some people that thought Doulos was the absolute greatest year of their life, and you had other people that would, if you were to interview them today, they would probably cuss at the word Doulos. They would just hate it. And the only difference was expectations coming in and an understanding or definition of what discipleship is or was. I had a very process-oriented vision of discipleship, where conflict and hard things were part of the process that God used to grow character and increase endurance and manifest hope, where other people had more content-driven, and they thought it was like going to be like a seminary where they learn all the things. You teach me everything I need to know, and I'm like, well, that's not how God operates. That's not it. He could have done it that way, but he opted for a messier approach. I don't know. It sounds like there's a combination solution here. Of one is the bar needs to be set at a certain level of what a grow group really is. And I don't know how that vision's being cast to the class in general, period. And that's not the fault of any one person. I'm just saying, obviously there's a problem with expectations, both not committed or that. I mean, jobs are going to change, and so for that reason, a group of 3 would be awkward, especially in Summit, where the high mobility rate of, you know, you're moving, you're out of grad school, you get your first job, and all of a sudden you're off to your second job before you even knew it. So, but then the other one is, I think, the, you know, Paul and Tyson, sort of that you do a little bit of a survey, a little bit of due diligence on that as well. But I do know, you know, some people turned away from Christ. I mean, there were people that turned away, but that didn't indict the process that Christ was on. But I'm not wanting to say I don't care about the people that turned away, but also know that, man, if we got 4 guys in a group together, or 3 guys in a group together, and they're going for it, God will he'll go to work. And I can't just care for the guys that aren't there. I want to celebrate the guys that are there. And I want to go for it, celebrate the ladies that are there. You know, it's like, I want to go for it. So,
I think too that having lived life a little bit longer than you guys, David might agree with me on this. The level of commitment with people is much, needs a lot of improvement.
Yeah.
I mean, we have people that are incredibly gifted people, and yet they won't serve. They come to Bible study maybe once a month, and so I think just in this day and time that people are almost too busy and to make a commitment. And that's what it's all about, is that commitment. And no, go ahead.
Well, and that's one thing we've struggled with, because we have now, you know, we're a Sunday night class. We often have, you know, outreach or leadership Monday night. There's supports on Tuesday nights. There's mid-link on Wednesday nights. And it's 4 nights in a row that we're asking people to come to the church building. So so we're trying to struggle with how do we handle that and get people that not just get rushed out.
So people are doing both Life Bible Study and Porch. They're doing both, aren't they?
The Porch is like Metro is yeah. So what, one of the things I'm trying with the group I'm leading this week, we're just meeting, so the Porch starts at 7:15, so we're meeting 6:15 to 7, which is a little bit of a tight window, but just more as just no material presented,
oh, yeah.
just a time to get together and pray for each other and do that as try to, as an add-on instead of a separate night of the week to drive up. And so anyway, but that's the struggle with all that's going on in churches. We're committed to so many things,
mm-hmm.
and all the activities going on, it's like too much.
Yeah.
Do y'all feel, and I'm just going to be completely honest, you know, do you feel that the expectation is from church, I think staff, and we can handle it if it's yes or no or otherwise, that it's communicated to y'all from the pulpit or from Don or me or Carol, that you need to check all these boxes or you're not a godly person, you're not a good Christian? Like, is that sort of, whether we intend to be or not, are we communicating that to y'all where there's a level of, well, we don't do the Porch and this and this and this, we're letting them down?
No, I think it's like a buffet where you put all the food out there and people kind of say, oh, that looks pretty good, I'll try that. Oh, I'll have some of this too. And then they don't just eat the one thing. You know, I think you need to have the perspective that you're going to have dinner for the next month. Eat this one now, next month you eat this one, next month you eat this one. It's not supposed to be all at once or I want to do this one right now. It's a structure of your life and plan what you're going to be part of. And part of it, like I do marketing for a living, and it's not the actual value of the thing that's important, it's the perceived value of it. Like if I try to sell a project manager to a customer, I don't tell them all the stuff the project manager can do. I pick out a couple of key things and I say, this is why you need it. And then another person, I'll tell them a couple different things. It's all stuff the project manager does, but I make sure that I'm selling them the value of that process. And I think we kind of, maybe we don't put small groups on a pedestal and we just say this is another thing in the buffet. Maybe it shouldn't be part of the buffet. It's like, okay, if you're going to focus on small group, you need to focus on small group. That's part of your life for this season of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next time, okay, you want to go to the porch. But it's not an all-you-can-eat buffet. You don't do everything at once and kind of sample everything. Take time and really delve into each individual thing, and that I don't think that's been communicated so well.
Yeah,
There's
something available in the small group that isn't available anyplace else.
Yeah,
that was my point earlier.
that's the only place. I mean, all the stuff.
I struggled in
great
pornography
stuff
for
out,
20 plus years until I had a couple of other men in my life. All this stuff came out of that whole process in my life of what was it about those relationships that allowed God to do what only God could do, which is set me free. And it was the grace, the commitment, the confidentiality, the transparency. It was the prayer, the accountability, the connection. We served together, we laughed together. Those things took it out of the shadow of isolation and brought it into the light of the gospel, and other people fought for that. They didn't judge me in that. You know, you didn't get judged for having a bad week with Les, you know, or whatever. I didn't hear, I mean, I never heard about you. I know the other wives in particular, I pray for them often still, even to this day.
One of the other things I wanted to say too, I think the limiting factor in grow groups is leaders. And so it's hard for us to make the group smaller. And if I were in a group of 8 people, I don't know how committed I would want to be either. Like, that takes hours to listen to 8, at least the way that we do grow group. If we don't have an hourglass and tell them they have 3 minutes, maybe
yeah.
we need to have that. But I think that may be a part of the problem too, is if you're starting with 7, you are sort of expecting 3 of them to drop off. Because 4 is, you know, that's where we want a grow group to be.
Yeah. Hey, James, to hit the content piece, my best grow groups, our content is really, truly, we've all had different quiet times, and it's like, hey, what's one thing God's been showing you this week? And I might have heard it in the sermon, I might have gotten it from my devotion in the morning, but I'm not bringing a study where I'm preparing. My preparation is journaling a little bit, is praying, is reflecting, and is being a little bit more intentional, quieting down the front end of my day. and I bring that into the group. That's the best thing I could bring to the group, is what God's activity in my life. And if everyone brings God's activity, even if it seems to them like, well, compared to his, it's no. Man, if God's at work, God's at work. And so when we share that, I believe it encourages all of us. Does that, so it takes the pressure off the preparation side a lot, but
yeah,
it's
I
also...
Think, I think pulling the content would shorten some of the Kroger meetings too. Instead of spending an hour on a Bible study and then an hour
yeah.
on... Don't do it.
I can't. I mean, I don't have that in my life.
You get teaching from so many places.
Yeah.
Way more qualified than us.
Yeah, I know we need to go because
yeah.
apparently
yeah,
there is
right,
yeah, there's gluten, fat, and sugar simultaneously. We're coming,
Don.
Yeah, Don's muffins are getting cold.